The second most popular album sold last year was Coldplay's A Head Full of Dreams. The first was Adele's 25, for those of you who'd like to know. Coldplay are an internationally recognized band led by Chris Martin, who used to be married to Gwyneth Paltrow of Hollywood fame. One of the tracks on that album is called Kaleidoscope. Don't worry if you can't read the words, I'm about to read them to you, not sing them. It's a short track, 1 minute 52 in length. And Martin writes, "This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide." There is something tenderly raw and transparent about Coldplay's take on the world, don't you think? To be human is understood to experience all kinds of emotions, often as unexpected as arrivals coming to a guest house, looking for somewhere to stay. Wake up and look at Facebook, a text, Instagram, WhatsApp, switch on the TV, and a joy, a depression, a meanness can be felt by us. Coldplay speaks of a momentary awareness, but for many, those feelings last much longer. The joy of a parent waking up with a newborn, depression that you often can't even explain through the pain. The meanness displayed in a text, seen in a politician's policies, felt in a friendship, seen in your own heart. And yet as Coldplay presents the kaleidoscope of human emotions and experience, as they twist the colors of our soul, they give no answer as to the purpose. In fact, they make a startling suggestion. Welcome and entertain them all. Really? Welcome? Really? Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide. By whom? And a guide to where? In the midst of the joys and the sorrows, the kindness and meanness of being human, where on earth are we being guided to? Is it really meant to feel this random, this unexpected? Are we really meant to welcome and entertain all this as if we are momentary guest houses, here for a while to inhabit the profoundest of thoughts, the deepest of emotions, and then? Seven people this evening have stood before you to tell you something different. They are living to a different song. A song that answers our deepest questions, that meets our greatest need, that tells the reason for life and hope in the face of death. Who has written the song? Well, here's some word clouds of the testimonies that we just heard. Three or four of them. Look at them briefly. Who do you think they were speaking about? It's hard to miss, isn't it, as you look at them, one by one, next one, and the next one. God is at the center of all they had to say. All that God has done in Jesus Christ. And this God has spoken to us in history, and his words have been written down in a book, the Bible. And in this book, God often sings to us. God of eternity sings to us. Listen to one of the songs again. Si just read it out to us. Here it is on the screen. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God, the Lord, says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. Do you see what that song says about being human? It's not a guest house of random emotions. We've been created. We breathe because there is a God who made us and who has graciously given us life. We have purpose. Each one in this room made in the image of God. Each one of us loved by God with infinite worth and value. Foundational feature of being made in the image of God is an understanding of right and wrong. Do you notice what is the chief theme of this song? Justice. Three times it is mentioned in these verses. This understanding of right and wrong, fair and unfair, is how we're hardwired. We know what kindness looks like. We know what meanness looks like. The legendary cartoonist Bill Watterson understood this. In his famous creation, six-year-old Calvin and his toy tiger Hobbes, they interact with the world. Again, you won't be able to see those words. Don't worry, I'll read them out to you. In this piece, Calvin, the six-year-old, has just had his toy truck taken off him by the classroom bully, a guy called Mo, six-year-old Mo. Calvin says in the first cartoon, "That no good rotten Mo, he won't give me my truck back. The oaf will probably break it too. Should I steal it back?" he asks in the second cartoon. "I know stealing is wrong, but he stole it from me. And if I don't steal it back, Mo will just keep it. And that's not fair." Third strip, they say that two wrongs don't make a right. "But what are you supposed to do then? Just let the biggest guy make his own rules all the time. Let might make right." The last picture. "That sounds reasonable." You see, Calvin, like us all, struggling with justice, what to do in the face of wrong and fairness, especially when you're powerless to do anything. And as we said, that is because we live in a moral universe. But, and this is a massive question, who gets to decide right and wrong? Is it really down to individual choice? Is that where we're really going? Surely that doesn't work. Right now it's the individual choices of one Donald Trump that many people aren't too chuffed with. A lot of people aren't happy with the new president of the United States and what he stands for. Who gets to decide? God clearly says to us that he does. Since he made us, since he loves us, since he knows what's best for us, since in his image we have this moral capacity for knowing right and wrong, it is God we were made to love, worship, and adore. It is God that establishes justice on earth, and it is our failure to live by this that has resulted in this world and our lives going horribly wrong. God tells us that deep down, we all know this, but cover it up. In a world in which we were made to live for him, in the joyous love and perfection of knowing God, we now live for ourselves in sorrow and brokenness. The guest house of our lives, a broken down house. And we see the evidence of that brokenness everywhere. When you look at the meanness, see the hatred on the Twitter feed. When you see the slums and poverty, the oppression, illiteracy, the pollution, human misery, the war and conflict. We see a world that is suffering the consequences of life without God. Where eight men can have the same amount of money as the poorest half of the world's population. Yes, we see injustice everywhere, and we see it in what we do to each other, say to each other, often in the name of what feels right. We witness a world that has hit the self-destruct button in its rejection of God, a world of injustice. And God's song here describes the effect of our self-destruction with two powerful images. This song speaks of us as bruised reeds, smoldering wicks. A reed is a tall, slender plant from the grass family, hardly known for its strength. The best of our lives, the most blessed part of our lives, all so frail. A bruised reed is life hanging on by a thread. So fragile and broken that the smallest of touches will cause it to break. And of course, so close to Christmas, all of us know what a smoldering wick looks like. The flame from the wick of a candle has all but gone out, the smallest movement of air distinguishing it forever. Bruised, broken, struggling. Does this not describe us? You. Me. Yes, we can know joys and happiness, but it's so fleeting in the context of the injustices around us and felt inside of us. Now, what would you expect to happen? When we've willfully caused this brokenness, when we've sinned against God by failing to live as He commands us to, when we are so often the reason for the injustices in this world, when we rightfully deserve God's fair and good judgment for our wrongs and failures, what would you expect God to do? The just judge of all the earth has every right to wipe us out as rebels in His sight. But that is not what God does. He is a God of eternal love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if the theme of the song is justice, the person of a song, of this song, is a servant who brings hope, hope to the world. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Because God so loved the world, because he so loved you and me, when he had every right to bring the full justice of his judgment on us, instead he sent his only son to live amongst us, to offer us mercy. This is the heart of the message of the Bible, of what God has done for us in history. God has entered our broken, unjust world, His Son Jesus Christ, to offer healing and peace to the nations. God arrives not as a warrior king, but as a suffering servant, to make it possible for rebels like us in our rebellion to find forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Jesus could do this 2,000 years ago because as God, he had the infinite power to lay down his life through dying on a cross and to bear the rebellion and sin of the world, to carry our sorrows, our injustices, paying the just punishment for them, and then rising to life 3 days later. Did you hear the testimonies earlier? Everyone described this turning and trusting in Jesus. Beth described the realization that in God's justice, she deserved to die for her rebellion and sins, but that Jesus had died in her place and dealt with God's just punishment. Robbie told us that in God's justice, sin cannot be punished by our simply feeling bad about it, or not doing it again, but only through death. Jesus' death saved him. How did Hannah put it? Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. The hope of the world lies in the servant of the Lord, the delight of God, the quiet healer, the man for others who wields the only true power that exists, the power to reorder human civilization, not by bullying, but by suffering. Not by imposing demands on us, but by absorbing our sins and miseries in himself. This is the audacity of hope. And the nations will be eternally blessed by hearing of him, trusting in him. His name is Jesus Christ. When as bruised reeds, smoldering wicks, we cry out to Jesus, he tenderly reaches out and does what no one else can do. Meg spoke about the change that knowing Jesus brings, the forgiveness he offers. Jonah of how God is working in his life. Not that any follower of Jesus claims to be better than others or perfect in how they live. Instead, they speak of forgiveness, a peace with God, with themselves, with others, a hope that is out of this world. It was that hope that Noah spoke of seeing in a woman called Elaine who died of cancer. In her early 40s, a lady with a husband and two sons, she died in joyful peace through Jesus, the hope of eternal life. So if you're a friend of one of these young people, and there are many of you here this evening, friend of many of these young people who are being baptized, I want to challenge you to do four things as I finish. Firstly, watch them. Seriously, watch how they live. Watch the difference that Jesus makes. As I said, it's not perfection that you're looking for. Not this side of heaven. It's joy. A contentment of seeing God's world as it's meant to be seen, of a life of love in Jesus Christ. Secondly, ask them. Speak to them about what they believe. Imagine for a moment that what they've told you tonight is true. This song that we've looked at, imagine that these words are true. Ask them about who Jesus is, what he said, what he did while here on earth. Look at more at the Bible with them, talk to them. Thirdly, go. At Kensington, we love to provide opportunities for people to just take a closer look. Si, who led this service, and his wife Kate leads the youth ministry here, would love to chat with you more about who Jesus is. This Friday, there'll be an opportunity to do just that. Si will tell you more about it at the end of the evening. Go along with some of your friends. Find out more. Watch, ask, go. Finally, trust. Each one of us desperately needs Jesus Christ. He is the only hope of the world. Hear him lovingly call to you now to trust in him. Don't worry about age or stage of life. Don't worry about what you've done or haven't done. Jesus is in the healing business. If you're a bit older, Katrine has shown us that this isn't the idealism of youth. Jesus Christ isn't an alternative for young adulthood or an insurance card for getting older. Jesus has claim on all of our lives and calls us all to trust in him. As I finish, listen, this offer of the Lord Jesus doesn't last forever. The implications of our response to Jesus in this life will last for all eternity. An eternity with Jesus, the bliss of heaven. An eternity without Jesus, that would be hell. You know, in some of the last words that Jesus said, he talked about a house. Not a guest house, but a place, a house that he was preparing for all who love and trust him. This house, it's a place of infinite love and beauty and joy. It's a world of love. And Jesus offers that to you right now. Turn to him. Trust him. Let the praise that God made you for rise from your hearts.